Wake up call program for 05/22. Wake up call program for 05/22 and 21.
Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, it's going to be a different type of show today because I'm flying solo. We have a special event that we wanted to go on location for it, and so I gave the rest of the crew the day off, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a little bit as we go down to the Craven County Board of Education, as they were having their meeting, and there were a number of grassroots activists down there protesting the critical race theory that they're trying to bring into the school systems. And we went live down there with some of the protesters and did a little interview with them, and we'll bring that to you here in just a little bit. But before we do, I want to tell you about the meeting that we just had this past Tuesday, and that was our annual Back the Blue event, which was very, very successful. We had over 100 people in attendance. We had the sheriff from Craven County, Chip Hughes, Carter County, Asa Buck, a representative for Sheriff Chris Davis out of Pamlico County, and we had Newbern Police Chief, represented by his officers there. We gave out awards to those officers that were recommended for acknowledgement for their outstanding service. And it was just a great night to see all the people that came out to support our men and women in uniform. We also had a special treat. We had the K-9 unit do a demonstration. They brought in their K-9 Nibbles and showed what he was capable of doing. It was a very impressive demonstration, and we always enjoy having them come and participate. So I want to thank everybody that did participate in that. Like I said, we had a very good crowd, a lot of community support there, and remember, it's not just the officers in the line of duty. It's also their families that are making a great sacrifice. So we want to remember them too as well. And keep them in your prayers, because these are hard times for these officers. They don't know what to expect when they leave the house, and their families don't know what to expect while they're gone. So we just ask you to remember them. Let them know you appreciate them and keep them in your prayers. Well, we're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors, and then when we come back, we'll get to that Craven County Board of Education School Board meeting.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the Newbern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in Newbern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, let's talk about the Board of Education meeting in Craven County that was held on May 20th. A number of grassroots activists showed up to protest against critical race theory. Hearing that across the state in many school districts, it's being taught in the schools, and there's an effort at the state level to push it down through all county systems, and people just don't want that to happen. They showed up quite a few with signs against the critical race theory and stood outside the Board of Education as the school board members were arriving for the meetings. And it was a peaceful protest, and there were no problems there. It was just parents and other people of the general public there doing their civic duty and trying to have their voices heard as the First Amendment allows for. So let's get into a little bit more about what is critical race theory and why are people showing up to protest against it at school board meetings. Well, Heritage Foundation did a little bit on the critical race theory. And in their podcast, they have a weekly podcast called Heritage Explains. Christopher Ruffo, a Heritage Foundation visiting fellow, explained very well what critical race theory is and how it's dividing America. So I'm going to play that clip for you because he can explain it a whole lot better than I can.
From the Heritage Foundation, I'm Michelle Cordero, and this is Heritage Explains.
This month, your administration directed federal agencies to end racial sensitivity training that addresses white privilege or critical race theory. Why did you decide to do that, to end racial sensitivity training? And do you believe that there is systemic racism in this country, sir?
I ended it because it's racist. I ended it because a lot of people were complaining that they were asked to do things that were absolutely insane, that it was a radical revolution that was taking place in our military, in our schools, all over the place. And you know it, and so does everybody else.
What is radical,
and he would know.
What is radical was totally about racial sensitivity training?
President Trump and Fox News' Chris Wallace are talking about critical race theory. The topic came up briefly in the first presidential debate. But what is critical race theory? It's such an academic term. Wallace called it racial sensitivity training, which is easier to digest, but is that what it really is? Does this sound like a fruitful exercise in equality? Here's what happened at Sandia National Laboratories, which designs America's nuclear weapons.
In one case at the Sandia National Nuclear Laboratories, they held a segregated training session, a segregated re-education camp for white male executives, where they took them away for a weekend and they were teaching them how to deconstruct their white male culture, how to accept their complicity in white supremacy, and then force them to write letters, including some letters of apology to women and people of color, all under this idea of kind of denouncing their own whiteness and doing better to join this kind of critical race theory, honestly, an indoctrination cult.
That's Christopher Rufo, a visiting fellow for Heritage's Domestic Policy Studies and our guest today. The concept of these taxpayer-funded critical race theory trainings entered the mainstream conversation after Rufo released an exposé. His investigation led to an outpouring of other examples from whistleblowers in the federal government who shared their own experiences. Today, Rufo will share more examples of what he found and help us understand the destructive roots of critical race theory and how it's dividing America. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's great to be with you.
Chris, I wanted to start out by asking if you could explain at a 101 level what critical race theory is, because it sounds pretty academic.
Yeah, you know, it is academic. The origins of it are in the academy. And critical race theory is the idea that the United States is a fundamentally racist country, and that all of our institutions, including the law, culture, business, the economy, are all, you know, designed to maintain white supremacy. And the critical race theorists argue that all of these institutions are, in a sense, beyond reforming. They really need to be kind of completely dismantled in order to liberate the oppressed people. And it sounds extreme. And I think the best way to think about it is you take the old Marxist concept of the proletariat and the bourgeoisie, or, you know, the oppressed and the oppressor. But instead of looking at it in economic terms, as Marx did, you change it and you kind of graft the new identity politics, and you think of it in racial terms. So instead of the poor and the rich, it's essentially the white and the people of color are the two dynamics. And this is the new oppressor and oppressed. And all of the old kind of Marxist kind of dialectic is really just reinterpreted through the lens of race. And that's really at the heart of critical race theory. And then what you see is that basic academic concept is repackaged in diversity trainings, articles, academic literature, HR programs. But that's really the kind of key core philosophical concept at its heart.
So that we're all sort of unconsciously racist or biased in some way.
Yeah, well, even worse than that, according to the critical race theorists, these institutions were designed in many cases explicitly to uphold white supremacy. And then over time, they've shifted where we don't have kind of explicit racism, slavery, then segregation. And they basically say, oppression hasn't been abolished. Oppression has simply become more sophisticated, become more subtle, become more insidious. So they're, make the argument that we have a system today that is akin to slavery, but it's more kind of implicit, it's more subconscious, it's more kind of hidden. Again, the constant is that they hold is that kind of racism and white supremacy are constant. They're ubiquitous. They're everywhere at all times. It's just up to the kind of intelligentsia or the kind of vanguard to understand it, uncover it, and demolish it.
So you did a really big thing here, and your investigative reporting showed everyone how this theory is infiltrating our federal government. Can you give us some examples of what you found?
Exactly. So critical race theory, the concept that has been percolating in academic circles, really in force since the 1990s, it used to be that you could dismiss it. You could say, well, that's just some academics at universities that are doing this stuff. But what's happened in the subsequent years is that it's migrated from the academy into the nonprofit sector, into the philanthropy sector, into the education sector, and into the bureaucracy, so into the actual public government sector. And what I uncovered in my investigative reporting is that critical race theory has really become the default operating ideology of the federal government. And I uncovered a series of critical race theory based trainings at more than a half dozen, actually, more than a dozen government agencies, where in one case at the Sandia National Nuclear Laboratories, they held a segregated training session, a segregated re-education camp for white male executives, where they took them away for a weekend and they were teaching them how to deconstruct their white male culture, how to accept their complicity in white supremacy, and then forced them to write letters, including some letters of apology to women and people of color, all under this idea of kind of denouncing their own whiteness and doing better to join this kind of critical race theory, honestly, an indoctrination cult. And other examples were similar. They were really expounding on the kind of most toxic and divisive elements of critical race theory, singling out people on the basis of race, judging people on the basis of race, in some cases, even harassing people on the basis of race, which is not only kind of awful and distasteful, but it's also likely illegal as a violation of the Civil Rights Act. So after all of this reporting, I kind of hammered away at this agency after agency after agency, predominantly using whistleblower documents that showed exactly what was happening, and then appearing on Laura Ingraham and then Tucker Carlson for a feature segment. I put out the call, and the president answered the call, and the White House put out a brilliant executive order basically saying you can no longer teach the kind of toxic and divisive concepts of critical race theory in the government, in the military, and also in corporations that are federal contractors.
Another thing I think we should really highlight further is that these trainings are taxpayer funded, and there are agencies that are profiting off of this. How much do these trainings cost, and are there specific figures that are well known for these types of things?
Yeah, it's a huge industry. I think, 15 years ago, I believe they estimated it as an $8 billion industry. I imagine that it's grown, sizably. On kind of my back of the envelope estimate, it's probably a $25 billion industry. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. And some of these trainers bill the federal government just absurd amounts. A man named Howard Ross, who's been highlighted in my reporting, according to federal records, has billed the government more than $5 million in the past 15 years for these kind of trainings, including stuff like a $500,000 training for NASA called a Power and Privilege Sexual Orientation Workshop. So this has become a lucrative business for, essentially race trainers that are brought in to government agencies to essentially teach the tenets of critical race theory, to denounce people on the basis of those theories, and then collect checks at the back end. And, needless to say, none of this has a basis in scientific fact. The evidence for many of these convictions is non-existent. And in fact, a study from Harvard University of 800 organizations over a time frame of 30 years found that diversity trainings do nothing to actually bring people together, to improve working conditions. And in some cases, they actually harm the workforce. And my own reporting can kind of confirm that, where people are, in some cases, joining public service. They want to work for the government to deliver services to the public, to do a public kind of, to do the public good. And then they find themselves in the midst of these extremely ideological struggle sessions. And they're intimidated, they're scared, they're angry, they're hurt. And employees of all racial backgrounds have told me this has no place in the government, and thank you for getting rid of it.
So can you speak a little bit on how critical race theory is infiltrating not just the federal government, but other institutions? As a mom, I know that things have popped up on my radar that I just can't believe.
Yeah, it's everywhere. And I think that we've kind of fallen asleep, unfortunately, as these things have pervaded all of the institutions. I mean, corporations are going kind of full scale into this. They're now kind of, you know, the famous woke corporations or woke capital, where they're, you know, highly profitable companies, predominantly in the major cities, that are now kind of really just falling all over themselves in order to kind of seek the approval of the progressive media and progressive philanthropic sector and the kind of progressive activists that really have a stranglehold on culture and power in the large cities. But I think even worse, you have this is really kind of gone viral within the education system. And I've seen both and as a reporter firsthand, but also as an observer of other people's reporting, that public schools are now teaching students, you know, as young as second and third grade, that whiteness is synonymous with evil, that the police systematically hunt down and murder black men deliberately. And all these other kind of highly charged political kind of convictions that they're teaching as if they're kind of uncontested fact. And I think what we've found too, as with the pandemic, as parents are having a chance to observe what's happening in the classroom via Zoom or other teleconferencing software, they're realizing just how extreme some of the education has become. And, you know, I've seen it even in among friends and family, where you have children that are very young that are being essentially indoctrinated into a political ideology. And I'll share one funny experience. A friend of mine who actually grew up in Czechoslovakia during the Soviet times, she told me that the political indoctrination in schools and places like Seattle is actually worse than when she was growing up in the Soviet Union. And she said, because in the Soviet Union, we all knew secretly that this stuff was kind of BS. But the problem here is that they really believe it. And I think it's a wake-up call to parents that, you know, they need to start getting activated, mobilized, and pushing back against this ideology that is being foisted upon their children.
Oh, boy, that's really scary. That's scary stuff right there. And you mentioned some of the corporations and the woke industry. People think of large corporations like the Googles and the Amazons, but it's smaller corporations too. I mean, I have friends and family who are concerned that their smaller organizations are going to force them to participate in something like this, and that they'll eventually be forced to, you know, say their political leanings before they're hired for a job.
Yeah, I mean that's certainly, you know, not out of the question, and you know, is probably happening in many places already, and I think it is really indicative of the kind of political environment that we find ourselves in, and I think that you know, I have many friends that that are kind of even moderate conservatives, kind of establishment, you know, kind of simple, you know, middle of the road, and you know, they're terrified. They feel like they can't speak out. They feel like there'd be consequences at work, and this is a major problem, and this is something that we need to work on. You know, I think there might be some legislative changes, but it's really a cultural change where, you know, you have essentially half the country has been effectively you know, effectively shut out of expressing their political opinions. And this is a major cultural problem, and I think it's going to require a much greater effort on our behalf to change, because ultimately it's not good for the country. You want to have kind of two robust competing political philosophies, political ideologies that are really working to balance our system. And wherever you come down, I'm on the conservative side, of course, I think that you want to have an intelligent and viable and responsible opposition, because that actually improves life and improves governance for all of us. And we're rapidly losing that. And I think we need to really kind of shore up our system and try to change that dynamic.
Christopher Rufo, thank you so much for your important work on this issue. And after the debate a few weeks ago when this came up, I really felt that there wasn't enough time for President Trump to really adequately explain what was going on. So we really appreciate you being able to join us and break that down.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think that, you know, the president did something quite stunning, quite amazing, and quite powerful. I think that it's really set a new course for what can be done on this issue. And I'm optimistic that, you know, I'm now exploring a number of different avenues, both as an investigative reporter, but also working with lawyers and legal foundations to try to solidify some of these gains and try to protect people from a toxic, divisive, and frankly, hateful training sessions in workplaces all over the country.
And that's it for this week's episode. I'm going to link to Chris's expose in our show notes in case you want to read further. And I also want to link to a recent virtual heritage event that Chris spoke on about how the left is failing to address homelessness and conservative solutions. Please share this podcast with your family and friends. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Heritage Explains Facebook page, and Heritage's YouTube page. We put our episodes everywhere because we want to make it easier for you to listen and share. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Well, there you go. Again, that was presented by Heritage Foundation, Christopher Rufo, R-U-F-O, and he's a Heritage Foundation visiting fellow, and he explained what critical race theory is and how it's dividing America. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, maybe now you know a little bit more about critical race theory and what that's all about, and why parents and community members were at the school board protesting the critical race theory and expressing their desires that not come into our school system, be part of our curriculum. So after the school board members arrived and the meeting actually got underway, at some point there was comments from the public. And a number of the protesters did speak and express their concerns about critical race theory and what they felt like it was all about and what it would bring to the school system and the effects it would have on the students. And unanimously, it seemed like most all the people that spoke were against critical race theory. And surprisingly, not. The members of the school board wanted to act like they didn't know what it was, hadn't heard about it, they were unaware of it, that it wasn't being taught here in Craven County. And that may be true to a certain extent, that it may not be in the curriculum as of yet, but there is a big push from Raleigh. It's already in other county schools. And Raleigh's pushing to have it in all of the school systems. And that's the DPI, Department of Instruction, in Raleigh. And folks just don't want to see it happen. So we wanted to let you know about the demonstration and how it went. And hopefully we'll have more information for you at a later date. Newest member of the school board, Victor Dove, did call for wanting to have open forums where they could discuss with the public. At this point in time, they're not allowed to do that. It's a one-way conversation. You get 3 minutes or 4 minutes to stand up and give your remarks, but there can be no back and forth dialogue. And it's been that way for years. Kudos to Victor Dove for trying to open it up and have more transparency and more interaction with the public and allowing people's voices to be heard, because parents are very concerned about what's going on in our school systems. One of the biggest concerns at the meeting on Tuesday night was there were a number of vacancies throughout the Craven County school systems, and it seems they're losing more teachers and principals, and people are concerned about that, and they want more information, want to learn more about why, what's going on, and what's going to be done about it. So, of course, most of what's happened so far this school year has been wrapped up in COVID. Everything's been focused on COVID this and COVID that. So maybe now that that's fading out a little bit, we can get down to business and get some answers to some of these other questions. Well, while we were standing outside the building waiting for the meeting to start, I had the opportunity to talk to some of the people in line, the protesters holding their signs, and they explained why they were there and what their problems were with critical race theory. So I'm going to play some of those for you. We're out here at the Craven County School Board building, and we got a number of people out protesting the critical race theory that they're trying to bring into the schools. Could you tell me why you're here today?
I don't have children or grandchildren in the educational system at this time, but I'm concerned about the generations to come, about our children and what they know, and that they know the truth.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head there, because the current people that are being educated or indoctrinated into school system now are going to be the future leaders of this country. So that's a good point. Thank you for coming. How about you, sir?
Yes, I feel very strongly about our kids and their kids. Some of the signs out here really hit the nail on the head. There's someone over there with a sign that says, teach history, not opinions or propaganda.
Right.
This critical race theory, they use the term theory very appropriately. There's no science or anything there. It's all stuff designed to be divisive and put people in different pukas or buttonhole people because of their color. And that's the opposite of what Martin Luther King taught. He taught that people ought to be looked at across the board by their character and not their skin color. And this is exactly what's happening now with a lot of these critical race theory and this 1619 project, which has been proven to be false. This is crazy. The schools ought to teach history. They ought to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, things to be competitive in the workforce so they can earn a living and be independent, not these other things that politicians are pushing for power. It's a pure power grab. All they're interested in is building up or making sure they stay in power, is my opinion.
Very well said. Thank you.
To support the cause, taking a look at CRT, I just realize it just doesn't make sense, especially for children, and it's very diversive, and it's not right. So instead of just talking about it and complaining about it, it's at least I can do is come out here and just support the cause. I think there's power in numbers.
Absolutely.
So I'm glad to be here. And I think everyone should be here that cares about this.
I agree. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, here's a gentleman here that has a sign that says CRT is divisive. You care to comment?
Oh, I'd love to. I'm Glenn Fink. To start with, I'm the public education chair of the Coastal Carolina Taxpayer Association. We and I are in this fight against critical race theory, which is divisive. It's a Marxist activity. It uses racist activities to fight racism, so-called, and we're going to keep it out of our schools with every energy we've got.
Okay, so are you're signed up to speak tonight?
I am.
Okay, well, thank you for coming, Glenn.
Thank you.
Well, yes, ma'am, how would you like to comment?
I'm here for the young people, the children who are being affected by this terrible things that are going on in the schools here and all over the country, actually. And like preaching to them that this is where it started, 1619, trying to erase our history, that this was a wonderful country. And it's unfortunate that people have seen to decide that it's not. You know, we're not perfect, but who is?
You and I both have seen a lot of history, I'm sure.
Yes.
And we know that the history we were taught is nothing like the history they're trying to teach now.
That's true.
So, it is a plan to try to change our country and make it something it's not. So thank you for coming out today.
Well, thank you.
All right, here we have a gentleman. His sign says CRT is racism. You want to comment on that?
Well, I think it's time we held the people to task. And actually, rather than dance around everything, let's call things what it is. And this is definitely a racism issue, and I just think we need to grab the bull by the horns. We've had enough.
Well, why would you think that it's a racist issue? I thought it was something that was supposed to be against racism.
Well, that's what they say, and they can twist it any way they want to. They're good at twisting things around, but it is definitely racism.
Okay, so you see it more as being divisive than...
Absolutely. We're supposed to be bringing this country together, and if anything, this is dividing it even more.
All right, well, thank you for your comments.
You're more than welcome. God bless America.
I'll tell you something, and my name is Russ Weeks. I'm not afraid to say it. I'm a disabled veteran. And what really, really irritates me is I spent 20 years in the military training to fight and kill the type of people that this Board of Education wants to turn out into society today. It's a slap in my face and a slap in a lot of the other military people. And you've got a lot of military people in this area. So it's a slap in our face for this Board of Education be turning out the quality of whatever it is that they're turning out. It doesn't make sense.
A lot of indoctrination going on.
Oh, good gosh, yes. And I've seen that I've been all over the world.
Right.
And I've seen what people like this can do once they get into power, unchecked power.
All right.
And that's what we're doing here now, is trying to check that power. And no matter the outcome of this, they have not seen the last of me yet.
Well, good, good. I'm glad to hear that. I know you say you've been all over the world, so you've been in third world countries.
Oh, yes.
And you've witnessed socialism and communism firsthand.
Exactly.
And why these people here are trying so hard to push us in that direction is beyond me.
But, it's their mindset. They were trained that way. Right. This started a long, long time ago, back in the 60s.
Right.
During Vietnam, if you remember the hippies. Those hippies are now the deans of the colleges. They're the presidents of the Board of Education. They've started off with an easy election, you know, get elected to the board. Well, they have, and there's enough of them that they have turned our education system on its ear. It's no longer what it was when I was going through school. We learned history.
Right.
The teachers taught us history. Now they're teaching theory. Well, I got news for you. There's a difference between history and theory.
Well, as Joe Biden would say, do you want the facts or the truth? Yeah, I agree with you. This indoctrination started a long time ago.
Yes.
It's been a communist plot. There's a lot of history there to teach us that we've been down this road before.
Exactly.
But we are getting too close this time. And to, like you said, those people that are there now, the colleges, the universities, higher education is dominated by liberals.
Oh, yeah.
And this next generation, the ones that are coming out now that are being indoctrinated, those are your future leaders.
Yeah.
Could be your next president, you know.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you, sir, for coming out.
You're welcome.
And your sign says, end racism, stop critical race theory.
Right.
All right.
Listen to Martin Luther King, not what this CRT.
So you don't think Martin Luther King would approve of this?
I do not think so.
No.
There's a difference between judging you by the character than the color of your skin.
Right. Absolutely. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
Okay, we have a lady here who says, don't rewrite, unite, no CRT, educate, don't segregate with hate.
Yeah, I'm out here just to make sure that this doesn't pass in our school system here. And everyone across the country needs to come out. This is something that I saw today coming out in California. They are sending out the new curriculum, A Pathway to Equitable Math Instruction. And this is where you've heard that math is racist. And, you know, it's no longer 2 + 2 = 4. You want to know how it's racist. In their book, it says addressing students' mistakes is a form of white supremacy. So simply telling them they got it wrong, you're a white supremacist.
Right.
It rejects the ideas of natural gifts and talents as inequitable. And it frowns on having only one right answer to a math problem. How in the world are you going to teach math if you can't tell them what the answer is?
Well, you're not supposed to actually teach anymore. You're supposed to indoctrinate.
Well, we need to stop that. We're here to stop that indoctrination, stop this division.
Well, thank you for being here.
Okay, well, there you have some comments from the protesters standing in line outside the Board of Education building. Wednesday night. So let's take another break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory, come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
You know how you feel when your hair looks great? Why not have that feeling regularly? You can if you let Kristen Toller be your secret weapon. Kristen is one half of the dynamic duo at Creative Hair by Patsy. They cut hair for both men and women, and they understand that one style does not fit all. Each person has some styles that look great, while others would be not so great. And as for the question to color or not to color, only you can answer that. But if you decide you want the lift a bit of color can add, you're in good hands with Kristen. She's great with color. So go ahead, give Kristen a call at 252-636-5741 and book an appointment. That's 636-5741. You know you want to do it.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's program. I know it was different than what you're used to hearing from us. Hopefully, everybody will be healed and mended by next week, and we'll get back to having the regular cast of characters here. But I thought it was a great opportunity to go on site and hear from the people in the streets and people actually participating in grassroots efforts. So now let's change perspectives and actually hear from a student, because the North Carolina State Board of Education just approved a new social studies standards featuring critical race theory frames. So let's learn a little bit from Aaron Alexander, the negative effects of CRT has on learning and student self-esteem.
With Brian Prophet, and I'll let you take it from here.
So Mr. Prophet was actually a teacher of mine in my time at Hillside High School. So I actually have firsthand knowledge of himself and really just what's been going on in the school system. Just as a little background, I was born in Winston-Salem, moved to Minnesota when I was very young. I went to a Christian preschool while I was there. And then when I returned back to North Carolina at the age of six is when I started public education for the first time. And so I've been in public education in Durham all the way through high school, Parkwood, Eno Valley, Southwest Elementary Schools. Lowe's Grove Middle School, and then, you know, straight through the pipeline into Hillside. Mr. Prophet was very, very influential, as many of our teachers are when we're in these formative years. You know, we as students, especially in the K through 12 ages, we're just sponges. We're taking in everything that our teachers tell us as straight facts. And as you all well know, we spend more time at school than we do with our families at home throughout that time of our lives. And, you know, if we're blessed to live a very long life, then maybe we can make up that time. But a lot of the ideas that we get are based on what our teachers say. When it came down to, you know, talking about elections, we would talk to our teachers when, you know, we're 17, 18, getting ready to vote for our first time. We're taking that into account. The things that we're hearing in school, that really weighs heavy. In my time at Hillside, Mr. Prophet got us involved in many things. Him and his girlfriend at the time, I'm not sure if they're still together, Ms. Holly Jordan, they helped to start the GSA, which is the Gay Straight Alliance at our school. They were very big on the whole allyship thing. When the Black Lives Matter movement started, we were very much enthused about it as a majority Black school. We thought that was something that was very good for us and our community. And so they took a very strong handle on getting us the resources necessary to actually put together BLM rallies as high school students, teaching us that these things were necessary and how they wanted to be allies to us, not really thinking about, or I guess not really allowing us to think outside of that box. Even down to the teachers unions, we had many rallies at the school where Prophet, he is also a DJ, DJ Whole Wheat, he would DJ these events at the school, and this was the coolest thing to us. So we're constantly being led down this rabbit hole into, you know, communist Marxist ideals. And we're none the wiser because, like I said, these are people that we're looking to for input and for an actual worldview that we're still building. I think it's really important to also note that in the history and English classes, it's extremely common to have these overlappings of where it's not just the subject matter being taught, but also the political views being taught. Ms. Jordan was also an English teacher. Prophet was a history teacher. And this bleeds out all over. This wasn't just them. And that's really where the issue comes in. There's not really anywhere that we can get unbiased information or ask legitimate questions. We're often compelled, as you just saw in a lot of those slides, to give specific answers, to think a certain way, not only because we want the approval of our teachers, but because when our teachers are molding us in a certain way, most of the students are also thinking that way. Groupthink is very real, and it's also very dangerous. After leaving high school, I was still very much in this mindset of the Marxist ideals, BLM, and that led me to a very depressed and angry state. I went to the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, and while I was there, I actually ended up having to go into therapy because of, you know, just how torn up I was. I'm seeing from the news all the time, the riots going on, taking part in riots in Charlotte, hearing how Black people were being treated as inferior. Although, you know, I'm at a PWI, I'm at a pretty good school here in North Carolina. I never had bad grades. I wasn't the stereotype of what these movements make it out to be, but I still had that understanding and belief that because I was Black, that there was always racism looming over my shoulder. It wasn't until I got really to rock bottom where I started to take my faith more seriously. And I decided that I wanted to actually, you know, be more. I wanted to find out what Jesus had for me in my life, where I started reading my Bible, that I was able to start to shed away from that. You know, and reading my Bible, I was able to start doing my own research, as that entails, you know, reading the scripture. And then I took that into my everyday life. And so luckily I was able to break from that echo chamber by reading alternative sources and really reading the history of what was going on. But we're talking about 13 years of just indoctrination, 13 years of being told that even though these white people are very nice to you, you have to be wary of the fact that everything is a dog whistle. I'm sure you guys have heard that plenty of times over the last 4 to 6 years. Everything is not as it seems because there's always something underlying. And that's really what it is that we need to combat and why it is that we need to fight against this critical race theory. The point of it being critical race theory, in essence, is one, to strike at the United States, because there can't be any unity if, you know, a quarter or even half of the country think that the other half is racist. But it's also to hide from the gender agenda that's going on right now, the LGBT agenda that's going on within our schools. Like I said, the GSA came in at the exact same time as the BLM. And that goes with the critical race theory. With critical race theory, there is no there's no innocent person in the matter. There's racism. We have to find the racism and figure out how it manifests. And so while we're looking at race, we don't see all of the transgenderism, all of the non-binary, or any of those other facets of the movement that are happening right underneath our noses. And we have to be very aware of that. And we also have to be working towards pushing those things out and showing children that this isn't right, and there is real science that backs up the actual worldview that we should be having. There are men and there are women, and that doesn't make one better than the other, but they are different, and we have to understand that. And I feel that there's a grave danger in allowing this in our schools. And so I hope that you guys will be able to help us out, and thank you for lending your ears in all of this that's going on.
Once again, that was Aaron Alexander doing a great job of articulating his experience as a student here in North Carolina public school systems. And he pointed out a number of the issues that he had with critical race theory and the other agendas that are associated with that, and the harm that it's doing to the students in the classrooms. And he's expressing his firsthand experience. So we appreciate Aaron's viewpoint. Well, that's about all the time we have for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope it taught you a little bit about the critical race theory issue facing us here in North Carolina public school systems. If you have more questions or want to learn more, you can always go to cctaxpayers.com. We have articles posted on critical race theory there, and you can also click on the feedback button and send in your questions. We'll get back with you on that. We appreciate you taking time to visit our website, because that's where you learn all about CC taxpayers and exactly what CCTA does. It is our mission to uphold the Constitution of the United States and to hold our elected officials accountable. We are your watchdogs, and we need you to help us perform that function. Well, hope you come back again next week. Hope you visit our sponsors in the meantime and tell them that you heard about them here on CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at
at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.